Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. The God who created the world and fills it with life be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Glorious God, your generosity waters the world with goodness, and you cover creation with abundance. Awaken in us a hunger for the food that satisfies both body and spirit, and with this food, fill all the starving world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 5. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 145 responsively. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Lord, you are good to all, and your compassion is over all your works.
The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down.
The eyes fall.
You open wide your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
You are righteous in all your ways and loving in all your works.
You are near to all who call upon you, to all who call upon you faithfully.
You desire the desire of those who fear you. You hear their cry and save them.
You watch over all those who love you, but all the wicked you shall destroy. The second reading is from Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, He withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said to them, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over from the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Do you have favorite family food stories? I grew up hearing the story of the birthday cake, that as my grandmother came to the table bearing the birthday cake, it slid off the platter, bounced off the table, and into the lap of the birthday girl. We heard this story from the time I was a child. All the time, on every birthday, we would always hear this story with the cravat as the birthday cake was delivered to the table. It was always, "Hold the plate straight," because then we would hear the story again. Another favorite story was the Thanksgiving weekend storm. All the family would get together on Thanksgiving Day, everybody bringing something, and it was in 1974, and a terrible storm hit on Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. No one could move. So there we were. I was in my house by myself for the whole weekend. It took about 4 days for this storm to pass and get cleared off, with 2 turkeys. Nothing else. My aunt across town had 6 pies. Somebody else had the creamed or scalloped corn and that great sweet potato with the little mushrooms on it, but nothing else. The family and this meal never came together. Those are a couple of our family food stories. Today in the gospel, we hear of a family, our faith family food story. These are the stories that get handed down, like favorite recipes, favorite stories and favorite recipes that we share in grief and joy, food and stories that nourish our bodies and nourish our family connections as well. This Bible story is a very important story. Other than the Passion of Christ, this is the only story that is repeated in all 4 Gospels. In fact, a couple of the Gospel stories even tell it twice. And we, in a way, reenact this story every Sunday when we gather as community here. There's 2 kinds of bread in this story. Martin Luther said that our Lord provides the soul with bread of the Word of God, and provides the body with bread that we eat. There's the ordinary kind of bread, the kind of bread that we eat, the kind of bread that we put on the table along with the meat and vegetables that we need to live on. But there's another kind of bread. Not the bread that we eat, but bread that we experience. Not what we live on, but what we live by. We pack our lunch with a peanut butter sandwich and a piece of fruit. That's what we live on. But it's the love and kindness of our friends. It's the support and friendship of others. It's the satisfaction of work. Those are the kinds of things, that's the bread that we live by. God knows that we need both kinds of bread. And God is concerned that both kinds of bread be provided to us in abundance. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And his word to us in this miracle is, "I have come that you might have life." That is, both kinds of bread, and have it in abundance. The disciples have really an important part in this miracle of the multiplication of the loaves. First of all, they're the ones that bring the situation to Jesus' attention. He's busy. He's walking among the crowds, curing the sick, visiting with the people, teaching. And they come to him and say, "Do you notice what time it is? It's getting a little late here. These people are hungry." The disciples know how much food there is available. They have that information. They take that food, those five loaves and two little fish, like illustrated on our banner, five loaves and two fish. They take that little bit of food to Jesus. They're the ones then who receive it back after Jesus blesses it, gives it back to them. They're the ones that distribute it to the crowd. They're the ones that go around and pick up the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. But if it had been left up totally to the disciples, there would have been no miracle. Their idea was to send everybody home, to send everybody back to the villages to buy their own food. But when the disciples turned the situation over to Jesus, that's when things started to happen. The disciples are not only among those who are fed, you know, and I'm thinking that they were encouraging Jesus to, you know, let's wrap things up here so we can get home for dinner. They were not only the ones who were fed, but they were the ones who allowed, who helped others to be fed. They trusted Jesus and then became willing workers in sharing the bread. They weren't only concerned about their own bodies, their own hunger, but then as they worked with Jesus, they were sharing the bread for the many. So what has this story got to do with us? 21st century disciples. Usually when we hear this story, we identify ourselves with those who are fed. And we think of the ways that God has nourished us and nurtured us. But we need to look at the other end of this miracle too. Rather than focusing on the receiving side, that we are those who receive the bread, you and I, part of the body of Christ in the world today, are on the performing end of this miracle. God is indeed concerned with both kinds of bread, with all of the needs of his people. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are asking for everything that we need to live. Bread not only to live on, to feed our bodies, but also the bread that we live by. And this miracle story teaches us that both kinds of bread are holy. The need for physical bread to feed the hungry of our world is not a secondary concern. Feeding bodies is a vital part of God's kingdom work. God does hear the rumbling of the hungry tummies. God does care and hears the cries of the poor. This miracle story is not just a nice story about people sharing a picnic. This is not just a story that we remember of an event that happened 2,000 years ago. This is a story for us today as we face the multitudes of hungry people in the world, people who are hungry for both kinds of bread. Feeding others is our job as Christians. Feeding love and hope, feeding mercy and peace to a world that's starving for those gifts. Feeding companionship and education and health care is the work of the kingdom. It is indeed God's wish, God's desire, God's will that all would be fed and be fed abundantly. And we, the body of Christ in the world today, are on the performing end of this miracle-sized task of feeding the world. God has given us so much. And as people of faith, as disciples of Jesus Christ who is the bread of life, bread for the world, we are called to take what little we have and give it away. We are the disciples who take our meager gifts and give them to Jesus and then receive them back to be shared. That's our job as Christians in the world today. We carry the baskets. We distribute the gifts of both kinds of bread to others. The new tagline for the ELCA, our national church body, is God's work, our hands. We are invited through our baptism to be involved with God in his kingdom. We are invited to carry the baskets, not for God's sake, because God can certainly redeem the world and feed the world without our help. But for our sake, we carry the baskets. For the sake of the world, we carry the baskets. We participate in this kingdom work of feeding the hungry, feeding God's children. Jesus says to us, I am the bread of life. You have been fed on my bread. You have been fed on my very body. Now take these baskets, take this bread, and feed others. Jesus said, I came into the world not to be served, but to serve. You do likewise. The world is praying for daily bread, and we're holding the baskets. We take what we need, we take what we have, be that little or great, and we give it to Jesus, who blesses it and gives it back to us, saying, share the abundance. Share the bread that you have to live on and the bread that you have to live by, and be nourished and filled, not only by the eating, but by the sharing. Jesus says to us, here, take what you need and then pass it on. Thanks be to God that we are invited to this meal and to this kingdom work of sharing both kinds of bread, bread to live on and bread to live by. Amen.